Hi, I'm Valerie, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains. Welcome to The Beauty Brains, a show where real cosmetic chemists answer your beauty product questions and give you an insider's look at the cosmetics industry. This is episode 347. I'm your host, Valerie George, and with me today is Perry Bromanowski. Hi, Perry.
Hello, Valerie. Great to see you again.
I know. Welcome back, right? We'll get to that in a second. But on today's show, we're going to let the fans know we're going to cover a few things like, do you need multiple cleansers for your face? How can you prevent buildup on hair? Is there a downside to using hard water shampoos when you don't have hard water? And what are your thoughts on acid peels? But first, the inane chit-chat. So Perry, I'm back after a very long time away.
You are back. And now, rumor has it you were out trying to get a voice transplant. What? Because you sound a little different today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Excuse me. Well, as we discussed on the previous episode where I was on, I had a car accident, had a concussion, basically was a dumb vegetable for like 2 weeks.
Oh my.
Then I contracted bronchitis.
Oh boy.
I know, right? And then I got a cold and I actually went back to the doctor and I was like, hey, it's getting worse. He's like, oh, JK, you actually caught this cold on top of it. I'm sure you're sleeping enough, resting enough, not stressing out. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I'm not doing any of those things pretty much. So I've been fighting through that. So it's why I'm a little like, eh, but I'm almost through. The only remnants of the bronchitis, I do have a little bit of a tiny cough, but I actually have costochondritis now, which I've had before. It's where your rib cage, the cartilage along the bones gets really inflamed from coughing.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm just physically like, you know,
yeah.
Anytime I move.
Well, it's a good thing you got a cough button, so we don't have to hear it on the show. But
Oh my gosh, you're going to have to use that, yeah.
Right.
October was not my month. And when October ended, I was like, oh, we're going to shake off the bad juju of October.
Sure.
I got in the lab and I just touched my pH probe. This was November 1st.
Yeah.
And it shattered.
Oh, no.
I know. Mr. Cosmetic Chemist said, well, your accident was October 3rd. So maybe you need, you know, a full 30 days of shaking everything off.
Sure. And October is a 31-day one. So it's.
This is true. So
31 days.
It did extend through November 2nd. So anyway, I've come out from my cocoon and I'm slowly re-entering the world. Not as a butterfly. Are moths in cocoons? I think I'm a moth. I feel
moths
like
moths are also cocoonies. You know, I was, since you were gone last time, I did a solo show, which is fun. I had a lot of questions, a lot of AI-generated voices, which is always fun to interact with. But, you know, after finishing that show, I thought to myself, you know, Perry, maybe you're a little too negative. I think every question is like, oh, does this work? I'm like, no, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't. And
well, that's why the fans miss me when I'm gone, right? Because I'm the counter voice where I'm like, well, come on, Perry, get your head out of your butt.
Well, I'm going to say the next time I do a solo episode, I'm going to do an all episode where I say what works. Like, it'll be the Beauty Brains What Works episode. So look forward
to
that.
It's going to be an all positive show.
all positive. All just all what works, right? It'll just be.
Yeah, I don't think people will like
that. Oh, this
that.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, people are going to wonder where you went. It's the imposter episode.
It'll be a short show.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There he is. He's back.
There you go.
Well, what did we see in the beauty science news?
You know, I saw this interesting story about a Virginia teen who was awarded an award by 3M in the 3M Young Scientist Challenge. He proposed a soap, and he developed a bit of this soap. So it's a soap that's supposed to treat skin cancer, and it only costs $10 a bar. It has some technology involved in it. The soap contains compounds that are supposed to reactivate skin cells, these dendritic cells that are supposed to help fight skin cancer. And so,
oh, wow.
You know, the 3M people were impressed enough with his formulating skills and the idea that, you know, they give him this award. And they're going to go into see if they can get it approved by the FDA for, you know, for use. But it's delivering skin cancer treatments through soap sounded like an interesting idea. And congratulations to this 14-year-old student from, he was originally from Ethiopia, and that's where he said he was kind of inspired for the idea, because people there are out in the sun a lot, and soap is a very common thing that everybody uses.
We're all using it. You know, when I first heard this story, and by the way, awesome that he's 14 and thinking of this, I was thinking about stupid stuff when I was 14. I think we could all say that. It's so different now. But when I first saw this, I was like, oh, another... I was inspired by cancer brand story,
right?
And initially was a little dismissive of it. But then in hearing about it's actually no treating cancer, it's not an inspiration story. Because, you know, usually people start brands because they have cancer and they need a more sensitive skin routine and feel they can't find something for them. Or they have a belief that their products caused cancer.
Right.
And, you know, they want to move away from it. And that one's a little annoying, you know, and I think we've heard that story many times already. So good to see this one's different.
Yeah, I do get frustrated by brands that it's almost like they're exploiting cancer to make the, give themselves a point of differentiation. And it's a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit offending to me. But, I mean, it works, so people continue to do it. But because it's like, okay, all the scientists and chemists in the world couldn't come up with something that you could come up with in your, you know, your kitchen. I mean, everybody can make a product that they like. That's great, but it's not like your products are going to be better than what you know, industry professionals can come up with. Maybe it'll be better for you. I agree with you. Usually, what brands based on some sort of response to cancer seem exploitive to me.
Yeah, and it's actually, let me start over.
Sure.
I actually got asked something on a similar line when I was speaking at North Carolina State University the other day about someone said, you know, I'm going through the aisles and I'm like really nervous because all I hear is like, you shouldn't use this ingredient because it's bad for you. You shouldn't use that ingredient because it's bad for you. What can I use? And I reassured her. I gave her a Perry quote. I credited you.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, basically, I just said, like, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's illegal to sell unsafe products. Brands are not selling products that are going to harm you. And likely, you know, the bigger the brand, the more safety testing has been done. So really just focus on using what makes you feel good, what makes you look good. And just don't even worry about all the noise because you're causing yourself unnecessary stress.
Sometimes I think that it's a bad thing for consumers that we have to put ingredient lists on products because that just increases anxiety, right? I don't know.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's answer some beauty science questions.
All right. This first question comes to us from Denise. Denise says, can you use this facial cleanser on its own, or would it work better as a first step to remove makeup before using a second cleanser? And the product she's asking about is the Glossier Milky Jelly Cleanser. So basically, but I sort of tried to expand that question into saying, do you really need to use more than one cleanser on your face?
I'm actually surprised you pronounced Glossier correctly. I was really waiting for you to botch that one, but you did it, so that's good.
Well, you know, I did take French in high school, so I know a little bit.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's talk about this cleanser first. I've actually used it, and I really didn't like it as a cleanser because when you feel it, you don't even have to look at the ingredient list. When you feel it, it feels very... slippy, almost like a serum, and doesn't really generate any foam.
Okay.
And honestly, doesn't even feel like your face gets really clean if you're looking for a traditional cleansing experience. Then when you look at the ingredient list, which I probably should have done before I bought it, which I try not to do because I don't want to prejudice myself.
Sure, sure.
But when you look at the ingredient list, it actually could be the ingredient list for a serum. It makes total sense. We have water, we have glycerin and propanediol, which are humectants.
Right, I'm not seeing I'm not seeing a cleanser in here. Where's the cleanser?
Not one single surfactant for cleansing exists in this product. It's basically polymers that you would use to create serums, humectants like glycerin, propionyl, hyaluronic acid, panthenol for skin conditioning, a bunch of different preservation systems, fragrance, some extracts, more moisturizing ingredients.
The only thing even a little close to a cleanser would be this betaine way down on the list. But that's certainly, like in this formula, it's probably just in there as a solubilizer for some of the other ingredients. It's not in there. It's not going to be a cleanser.
Yeah, or as a humectant, very minimal, almost negligible surfactant qualities. So
sure.
I would say this is probably not a great cleanser. However, it might do a good job at getting some of the makeup and debris off your skin if you wanted to do that before pre-cleansing with your real cleanser with traditional surfactants. That's actually going to get the stuff off your face. But I guess that begs the question is, in this scenario, Perry, maybe it's good to double cleanse, but what do you think about doing it on a regular basis?
On a regular basis, I mean, I use the water from the shower that goes on my face, and sometimes the shampoo goes into my onto my face, and that's the extent of my cleansing. So I think double cleansing is probably excessive. But however, I could see that if you regularly use facial makeup, which I do not.
Or a substantive sunscreen.
Right. Or an amount of sunscreen. Yeah, I could see that two cleansing steps could probably be beneficial if it's not drying out your skin.
But on an ordinary basis, if you just have a moisturizer on, if you've just gone to bed and you're waking up, I would say like double cleansing is likely excessive.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, I might even say just cleansing can be excessive, but don't take grooming advice from me.
Do not take grooming advice from Perry. But that being said, Denise, you could use it as a facial cleanser on its own. You probably won't be very satisfied if you're really dirty or have a sunscreen on your face. Maybe it's, you know, when you just wake up and you have some nighttime sebum or something like that. But definitely try it. See if you like it. You'll see pretty quickly if you feel happy with it.
It's very interesting what they're calling a cleanser, you know? And I think this does demonstrate to you, the audience, that terms like cleansers and conditioners and moisturizer and stuff, those are marketing terms, and there's no like scientific definition for what would count as a cleanser. I mean, to me, a cleanser would say, okay, you need water and some sort of surfactant. That's a cleanser. But, you know, there are oil cleansers too. So is it really a cleanser when it's oil? I don't know. So it's the bottom line here is you can't always rely on what the product calls itself to know, you know, what it really is. All right. Thanks for that, Denise. Here's one from Lynn. This is about a bit of a long one about her hair, and we just sort of summarize it. She says, first she says she enjoys our podcast, of course. So thank you.
We have to mention that. Thank you.
We should mention that. And she says she has fine, long hair and a greasy scalp and struggles to find products that work for her long term. And she thinks like every shampoo ends up making the hair more greasy over time and building up on the ends. She's tried a bunch of different shampoos, and she's tried to stay away from ingredients that she believes are problematic, like silicones, polyquats, and any type of oil. She also stopped using conditioner and has tried making a few shampoos at home, like a minimal one, which has water, sodium lauryl sulfate, betaine, and salt and parabens, which seems like a reasonable shampoo. She says it's okay on my hair, but it's a bit drying and the static is crazy. Yeah, well, if you're not using conditioner, no kidding. So her question is, could you mention some other like film-forming ingredients, I think, that she could add to that shampoo that she's creating that can prevent, presumably prevent the frizziness and the static? So what's your thought on that one, Valerie?
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I am not sure that the shampoo is actually truly the issue of causing scalp oiliness. I did this project where I developed a device that could image the scalp and image the hair and use AI to run through this algorithm we created and generate, you know, what scalp conditions you might have, what hair problems you might have, and make product recommendations based for that. It was called Hair AI. It's no longer on the market. Oh. But we had to photograph several thousand scalps, and we often did some of the same people and looked at, you know, every single day what their scalp would look like, or maybe they wouldn't shampoo for 2 weeks, what would their scalp look like? And one of the interesting things we realized is that some people just have a significant propensity for oil production.
Yeah.
And you can actually see it. You can tell someone who hasn't washed their scalp for 2 weeks, that's just an average person, versus like an oil producer. It looks very different on the scalp. And so those people, probably like Lynn, may benefit from seeing a dermatologist and discussing the challenge with them, because I don't think it's coming from buildup. I think it's an internal mechanism that's happening, and there may be something that can help regulate that for them if it is such an issue. The reason I also don't think it's necessarily a shampoo issue, maybe the shampoos aren't helping the appearance of the hair,
right,
is that generally some shampoos, even like the most basic, no matter where you live, even if you don't have Suave, you have like literally the cheapest shampoo possible in the world that could be like a Suave or a VO5, something like that, where it's like the cheapest thing. And it's literally probably water, polyquaternium 10, sodium lauryl sulfate, cocamide propyl betaine, salt. If you're lucky, a polyquat 7 or something like
that. Preservative fragrance, but otherwise it's as simple as it gets.
As simple as it gets. And Lynn, you know, maybe as simple as what you're making, or maybe yours is actually even simpler.
Yeah.
And so again, the challenge is the oil production's coming in from internal. And so pretty much anything you do to improve your product, even if it's a minimal fill former, is going to build up on the hair and probably actually attract the oil.
Right.
So for example, guar gums, guar hydroxypropyl trimonium chloride, coalesces with oil to leave hair filling more conditioned. So you would want to avoid something like that.
Right.
Polyquaternium 10 is another polyquat, very light, but sticks to hair. And again, you're just going to get some buildup from that over time because it's designed to stick to hair. It's not necessarily a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing, literally and figuratively.
Right.
But for you, where you have all this oil production, it probably is a negative thing. So, you know, in my mind, very difficult to make some additional recommendations that are quaternized to help you with your hair. Now, maybe you could look at adding a hydrolyzed protein, like a hydrolyzed soy protein, something like that, that's not going to attract oils to it. What do you think, Perry?
I think that is certainly a route. The problem with that, too, is that it could also attract the oil, too. So it, creating that film might be a problem, even with a protein. One of the thoughts that I had was maybe this might be a good time for an after shampooing, some sort of styling polymer to do the film forming. Like, I don't know, a simple thing like a low level of PVP delivered from a styling gel or something that's going to make a nice film on the hair without necessarily attracting the oil like the problems you have with the cationic polymers from a shampoo.
Yeah. Basically, anything that ends in eum, anything that says quat, anything like amodimethicone builds up on the hair. Those are things, you pretty much are going to have to try to avoid in products. And the challenge is even the most fundamental basic shampoos on the market have something like that because there is a basic consumer expectation of detangling and performance, unfortunately.
You know what is interesting? When I was working on in shampoos, we were looking for the best formulas. We were comparing to Pantene volumizing shampoo or Pantene Extra Body. And back then, the volumizing and extra body formulas were also 2-in-1 shampoos. They just didn't call them 2-in-1, but they had dimethicone in it. They had the polyquaternium 10 or whatever in there. They said volumizing. So just another case where you can't really believe what they say about their formulas, because it's relative to their moisturizing formula, it had those things in, but at a lower level. So, but relative to, say, like a VO5 shampoo or a Suave shampoo, it was way more conditioning.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that's Hair Talk. Hopefully that helps a little bit. Good luck. I say try to treat the frizz as a new problem and keep using that shampoo that you're creating. I don't think you can deliver the solution from a shampoo.
Yeah, that's also great advice. So yeah, the challenge in fighting the frizz would be supplementing it with something that doesn't impact the scalp or weigh it down, and really looking for, you know, maybe it's not even a plant oil like a triglyceride. Yeah. Maybe it's some kind of cyclopentasiloxane or volatile dimethicone.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to thought of that. Yeah, exactly. So you don't have to avoid all the silicones, but use the cyclic silicones, which they evaporate off your hair. So you get the benefit right away and it evaporates off. Now, good for your hair. Is it so good for the environment? I don't know, but...
Well, cyclotetrasiloxane isn't allowed in the EU because of a human safety issue. And pretty soon, cyclopentasiloxane won't be allowed in products in the EU, soon being 2027, because of an environmental issue down the drain. But maybe you could still buy some online, have it shipped to you. I know a lot of ingredient resellers are working with that, but that should evaporate off the hair, but help combat the frizz. The last question, Perry, was she mentioned, and I'm only bringing this up because our next question has to do with water hardness.
Sure.
She has soft water where she lives. Do you think that contributes to greasy scalp or no?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I haven't seen any evidence of that. No, so.
No, nope, certainly
yourself?
Hasn't come up. Yeah. No, nope. Yeah, I haven't seen it in literature. But we do know water hardness impacts the way hair looks and feels. So let's get to that in our next question from Laura.
Yeah, and it's an audio one. Let me hit play now.
Hi, Beauty Brains. I love the show. I have two questions for you. The first question is whether there is any downside to using hard water wellness shampoo and conditioner. I have and love the smell of the Malibu hard water wellness set, but I don't have hard water. And my second question is actually in response to the episode 344, when somebody had a question about if you have a concentrated tablet that you add liquid, and you guys both told how, and for a formulation perspective, that's not really reasonable. But I was wondering about some of those concentrated liquids that you just have to add water to. Does the same sort of rule apply in terms of being able to make it either cosmetically similar, or if it's a cleaning product, it seems like it would be working the same, and it just reduces the weight of what's being shipped? Sorry. I'm so used to dictating things. I just said question mark. But those are my questions. Thanks. And it's Laura from Florida.
Okay, thanks for that, Laura. And incidentally, if you want to get your voice on here, you can just record your question on your smartphone and then email it to thebeautybrains@gmail.com. Or we might just take your question and make it an AI voice. that has been known to happen too.
Once or twice to break it up, but not too often.
Exactly. Just usually when there's a solo show and you don't want to just hear my voice for 45 minutes. All right. So she likes this hard water wellness shampoo and conditioner, but she doesn't have hard water. Is there a problem with using that?
Well, even if you don't have hard water per se, you still have minerals in your water. Calcium and magnesium are the ones that contribute to what we perceive to be water hardness. And so again, even if you're not super hard and you're kind of soft, I would say there's no harm in using this hard water wellness shampoo, because what that's going to do is just remove any extrinsic calcium and magnesium that's in your hair fiber. It's also going to remove copper and iron, which can damage hair over time. Those are probably the minerals you most want to be concerned about. So I would say probably no downside. A lot of people do get worried about hard water, but the thing that we've talked about before on the show is hard water is not really a big deal if your hair is healthy. So if you have virgin hair, meaning you've never colored it, permed it, chemically processed it, or it's maybe you've done like some highlights or a bit of moderate lightening or coloring to your hair would still be considered pretty healthy, right? Hard water actually is not going to impact you because the minerals are not affinitive for that hair type. However,
well, I will say it might impact you if you're washing your hair with a bar of soap. So,
well, that's true. Correct. But the ordinary, you know, shampoo right now, that kind of stuff.
Nobody washes their hair with a bar of soap, do they? That's crazy.
I mean, you do.
Oh, well, no, I don't. I use shampoo for everything. So.
Oh, shampoo for everything. Okay, that's right. Some people do use bar soap for everything. I've met
really? That. Wow. Okay.
Yes, I may know one intimately.
Wow.
Mr. Cosmetic Chemist doesn't do that anymore, everybody.
Well, it just seems like bar soap is... I've used bar soap in my hair before. It's terrible for your hair, whether you have hard water or not. And if you have hard water, it's even worse because it makes these salts that build up in your hair.
Using
conventional shampoos and stuff, detergents, that's not a problem.
Yeah, Mr. Cosmetic Chemist now has shoulder-length hair, so he has to use my products, and he complains when he doesn't like one for his locks and accuses me of leaving hair in the shower, all that kind of stuff, but it's his.
He's learned more about hair than you have, right? He's learned more in the last 3 months. He's become more of a hair expert than you, apparently.
Yeah. Well, you know, so if you have really, back to the question, so if you have healthy hair, hard water is not an issue because the minerals aren't attracted to it. But if your hair is severely processed, severely heat damaged, severely, you know, you're a platinum blonde and you're naturally a brunette, that kind of thing, hard water is a problem for you. And so even if you have very minimally hard water, it's an issue. So I definitely would recommend using occasionally a hard water wellness shampoo. Even if you don't have ultra hard water and your hair fits that really damaged criteria, because the minerals do go in and they do leave your hair feeling a little stiff, a little scummy, that sort of thing.
But I would say, as far as there being a downside, there isn't, because all of this, because the way that these hard water shampoos and stuff work, they essentially load them up with chelating agents. And the chelating agents are just molecules that will grab ions out of a solution. And if there's no ions, those chelating agents will just wash down the drain anyway. So it's not going to harm your hair if you don't have too many ions out there.
Now, you specifically have to look for a shampoo, though, advertised as a mineral remover shampoo, because almost all shampoos, ordinary shampoos, we'll call them, that aren't specifically designed for removing minerals from hair, they also may have a chelating agent. But the chelating agent is for the shampoo. It's not for your hair. I also see that on the internet all the time. Yeah. Oh, it's to remove minerals from your hair. Well, 0.05% of tetrasodium EDTA is not going to impact your hair.
Right.
That's really for the stuff in the bottle to make sure metals aren't interacting with your formulation.
And it's also there to help the preservative system work better. Because these metal, these chelating agents can go into the microbe cell membranes, break them up, and then the preservative can kill them. So it's also part of the preservative system.
Exactly. So specifically look for that hard water marketing feature from the brand.
Laura was also listening to episode 344, and she had some thoughts about that. Remember that in that episode, we asked about, we talked about whether dry products can be blended with water and bring them back up and there would be the same as like regular products. And we said, no, that's you can't do that. But she said, what about concentrated liquid products? Are they cosmetically similar? And she asked, well, I'll play the thing so I don't have to explain it anymore. So how about, what do you think about liquid concentrated products?
I would say versus dry, probably more similar to a fully finished real product, because in order to make this concentrated liquid version, you still have to use similar processing temperatures, incorporation, mixing methods. You're just using less water to do it. And then when you add more water after the product has been made, the product's been designed to take that additional water addition and work. Now, does it perform just as great as something built from the ground up? You know, I don't know that answer. I think it would be probably product dependent.
Yeah. I certainly think for something like, you find this very commonly in like laundry detergents.
Oh, yeah.
And I would think in laundry detergents for sure, because it was the liquid was already going into a big pool of water anyway. So whether it was a small amount of concentrated liquid or a bigger amount of less concentrated liquid, it ends up with the same concentration. For products like a shampoo, I think in cleansers it can work, because we used to work with originally we had like a 33% concentrated SLES, and then we went to a 70% concentrated SLES. And this was in the making of the shampoo. But when we diluted the 70% up to, you know, what it would work in the formula, it's the formula still worked the same. So I would think as long as there's already a certain amount of the product distributed in liquid, it should work pretty much as well as the regular stuff. But like you said, there might be some differences that you might not notice.
Yeah, it definitely has to be designed to do that for sure. My mentor, Dr. Ron DeSalvo, he told me that at Redken, he worked at Redken in the 1960s, they had this product called Amino Pond Shampoo, and it was a concentrate. And they would send the concentrates to the salons, and the salons actually in the back bar area would be mixing, you know, like a little bit of the Amino Pond concentrate, adding water, and that was their back bar shampoo. So it certainly has been done before our time.
Right. Absolutely. I will just finish with this. It works really well for cleansers, but I would think for a product like a moisturizer or some emulsion product, that's not even in a liquid form, I don't think that's going to work as well.
No, definitely not. Well, we have time for one more question. Then I have to rest my voice. It's an audio question coming to us from Farah.
Hello, Valerie and Perry. My name is Farah, and I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, a small island in the Caribbean. We have very hot weather here, so my skin is exposed to the sun a lot. And I'm 37 years old. I've recently started to get some wrinkles, and I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on chemical peels? I love your show. Thank you so much.
Farah's from Trinidad and Tobago. You know what the capital of that is.
I do not, because I don't have a memory castle.
It's Port Spain. In my memory castle, it's located on the front burner of my stove. But
I really have to try this thing. If you guys haven't listened to all of our episodes or even from this year, Perry did this memory castle thing. He was obsessed with it for weeks. Everything was a memory castle. The periodic table, the capitals of all the countries in the world.
The presidents and all the vice presidents and the World Series.
Oh, gosh. More. So, you know, I would tease him about this, but here we are several months later, and at the drop of a request, he can tell us the capital of Trinidad and Tobago.
That's right. And I've never been there, but it turns out the sun has been there. And so what do you think? Farah says she's 37 and just starting to get some wrinkles.
Okay.
And
welcome,
she says,
to the club. Yep.
What are your thoughts on chemical peels?
Yeah, so I've actually had a couple chemical peels done, and I really like them because several deep layers of your skin come off. You are shedding like crazy. And I had my first one at the very beginning of COVID, like literally like the day before the world locked down, I got one. And it was great because I could wear masks while I was peeling, and I wasn't offensive to anybody. More offensive than I usually am, I should say. I didn't look as offensive.
Sure.
And so, yeah. But huge chunks would come off. And for several weeks afterwards, my skin looked so young, so beautiful. I really enjoyed it. And this is a chemical peel I got at an esthetician. You can do extremely deep chemical peels at dermatologist offices that actually like get down to the very base layers of your skin, which is very different. So I really enjoy them. The thing is though, Farah, if you are exposed to the sun a lot, you want to be extra careful after the peel because your sun is extremely susceptible to the sun's rays. So that means you have to stay out of the sun. That means you have to cover up even if you're not in the sun. That means you have to wear SPF. I would recommend applying it twice to every aspect where you got the peel because you may do more damage. You may cause more pigmentation. You may get burned. You may increase your risk for skin cancer. So that's the only downside of being in a very sunny region and getting a chemical peel.
Yeah. You know, I saw an episode of Sex and the City where one of them gets the chemical peel. I think it was the Samantha, maybe? Is that the
older blonde?
The Kim Cattrall character. Yeah.
Yeah.
She got like
I can't believe you know this.
I watched the whole series with my wife. It's okay. I'll watch anything, really. Well, not Selling Sunset. She's obsessed with the Selling Sunset show. I just can't watch it.
Do not watch that one. No.
Anyway, I remember an episode where she got a facial peel and her face was like all red for the entire episode. Is that what she just left it on too long or something?
Well, no, it's supposed to do that. So it literally is burning your skin. And some peels are red. I think that's more like the medical grade peels, we'll call them, where you're getting them at a dermatologist's office or even laser. So you actually don't even have to get a chemical peel. You could have a laser do the same thing by going to a dermatologist that specializes in lasers, and they will literally,
burn your face off, right?
Burn your face off. This is what's happening during a chemical peel. And some peels are done until your skin looks frosted, is what they call it, and it literally looks like etched glass is frosted looking. Your face will look like that as well. But I really like the results from them. You don't want to get them too often. So, just be very sure when you go to get them that you want to get it because you can't do them all the time. Otherwise, your skin will look weird and waxy and not good.
Right. And it reminds me of a book I'm reading too, The Man in the Iron Mask. So you might want to have an iron mask for a few days.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh, geez.
Fortunately, I hear the music. Yes.
We're out of time. Thank you, everybody. If you get a chance, please head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. That's going to help other people find the show and ensure we have a full docket of beauty questions to answer.
And if you have a question, just record it on your smartphone and email it to thebeautybrains@gmail.com. Also, you might have heard or not heard any commercials in this podcast, and that's because we don't take advertising money to run the podcast. But it is not free to do, and if you can help us, go over to The Beauty Brains on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheBeautyBrains and subscribe at any level. A bonus for the patrons is that they get their questions answered in a higher priority, and you get a transcript of the whole show.
Also, don't forget to follow us on our various social media accounts. I just figured out how to do reels, so get ready. On Instagram,
nice.
We're at TheBeautyBrains2018. On X or Twitter, whatever you want to call
X-Twitter.
I like to call it X-Twitter. Great. X-Twitter, we're at
TheBeautyBrains.
We have a Facebook page, and we are still squatting on that TikTok.
Oh, yeah. We're getting close to using TikTok.
Gosh.
We do a ChatGPT is going to make TikTok for us.
My goodness. That would be pretty cool. Well, I just figured out Instagram Reels. It only took me like several years, so it might be a while.
Wow. Looking forward to all that new content.
Well, thanks again for listening, everyone. And remember, be brainy about your beauty.
Thanks, everyone. Kittens.